Good morning. Merry Christmas. It is still Christmas. You know, and good job because everyone got out of their Christmas pajamas and made it to church today. No, I'm just kidding. I got out of mine yesterday, so. We are still kind of in the glow of Christmas Eve. It was just a wonderful Christmas Eve here. I just want to call out a couple of my personal highlights, if I can get the words out. Our 5 p.m. service, I wanted to thank Courtney Rominger for just putting together a great Christmas 5 p.m. service. You know, one of my favorite parts in that service, actually, you know, the parents and the kids dress up in, you know, sheep and cow costumes and nativity, and one of the baby calves was actually trying to blow out the Advent candles. And Daddy Cow kept corralling the baby calf back to the nativity. Then finally, baby calf just makes a run for it and escapes, like right down into this area. Daddy Cow brings the calf back to the nativity. All is well, all is restored. Just a really great service. You know, I also wanted to just say a couple other highlights for me. Blake and Jessica Russell leading Prince of Heaven at our 10 p.m. service was a very powerful moment. Thank you for that. And Tracy and Patrick Hare sang All Is Well, which was just beautiful. And the choir, you know, just the music that you bring throughout the Christmas season from the concert, Carol of Joy that you sang on Christmas Eve is still ringing in my ears. So thank you so much for all that you do to make this such a rich, rich Christmas. And finally, you know, the one who helps it all sound good is Free Hollis, is up in the AV. He has been working overtime. He has been working. It really takes all of us, and I'm so grateful for each one of you. It has been a rich Christmas season. And the Sunday after Christmas, I've got to tell you, I'm always very privileged, very thankful. I'm often preaching here at this service. And, you know, I find that it's interesting, the Christmas Sunday after, you're sort of caught in between the next year, thinking about the next year, but then reflecting still on Christmas. And before we look into 2020, and I know there's a lot of plans, a lot of hopes that we have, a lot of things that we're thinking about, the prophet Isaiah that we're going to finish up our series in today, the prophet Isaiah is really calling us to just pause and reflect back on God's mercies. So that's what I want us to do just for a few moments today is before we jump into the next year, we're going to reflect together on God's mercies in this year. So let's take a look together in Isaiah 63, 7 through 9. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? It says, I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. This is the word of the Lord. Carried. How has God lifted you up and carried you this past year? Who are the people that have come around you and carried you? This is what I want you to be reflecting on in these next moments we have together. carried. You know, every year, Time publishes top photos of the year and playlists. Spotify gives their top 10, and we get our Facebook profile, all the great events of the year. But actually, I was thinking about a photo in 2017. And it was a photo of the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey in Houston. And in the photo, there are these three highways that are converging. And in the background, there's really no cars on these highways. But in the foreground, the highway 610 is just completely engulfed in water. And on the right hand of the picture, there's a little boat, and there's a member of the Houston police force, and he's one of the SWAT team members, and he's holding a red gasoline can by this boat. And off to the left of the photo, there's a car that is completely engulfed in water up to the windshield. But it's in the middle of this photo that the photographer is wanting to draw your attention to. And in the middle is this mother, Catherine Pham. And she's been rescued by these police officers from this very boat. And Catherine is holding her 13-month-year-old baby, Aiden Pham. And it's remarkable because this baby looks so peaceful. Looks like it's almost falling asleep. And she's carrying him in her arms. But the remarkable thing is that they are both being carried by another person in a baseball hat and fatigues, one of the Houston police officers, Daryl Hudek. And he is lifting Catherine, who is carrying her baby, Aiden. And this man, Daryl, is carrying them both to safety. Now, the writer here in Isaiah is, in a way, reflecting in the same way about God's character, his goodness. John Goldengay, who is the Old Testament professor emeritus at Fuller, believed that these verses came in the context around 539 BC, when actually Israel had returned to their homeland from captivity, from exile. And so the temple is being rebuilt, the city is being rebuilt, but it's still in a devastated state, probably not unlike Hurricane Harvey. The people of Israel had literally been carried off into exile to Babylon, but then they'd been lifted and led back to their homeland when Cyrus, the king of Persia, issued a decree that God's people should return. But you know what's interesting about this scripture? I thought when I first opened it up and thought, well, what a great passage to think about at the end of a year to reflect on God's goodness. And then I found out that there's actually a little more depth to this scripture, that this scripture actually comes from a little bit of tinge of sadness and lament of the people of God. You see, they've come back to their city and somewhat disillusioned and discouraged. I mean, they've returned to their homeland, but things aren't quite what they used to be. There's rebuilding, but some of that former glory is lost. And they're wondering, what is wrong? Where is God in all of this? And so actually chapters 63 and 64, it has this form of a lament that always, like in the Psalms, begins with a recalling of who God is, his character, his goodness. God, we remember who you are and what you have done, how you have been kind to us. We remember that. But God, we ask, where are you now? And then there's often a confession of sin, and there's an appeal that God would intervene in the past. And so I want to come back to that a little bit later for us, but I love that no matter where we are at the end of 2019, if you are jovial and you are celebrating the year, or whether you may feel a little blue or feel like, you know, some of those resolutions that I set in 2018, I didn't even get to February with those things. No matter where we are in our walk, it is always, always life-giving, always good to reflect on who God is and how he has been kind to us, how he has carried us. You know, John Goldengay, he says that in praise, when we do this, when we reflect on God's character together, it builds up the world, it builds up the faith in each other, but it does something to our relationship with God. Just like if we were to tell someone how much we admire them or how much we appreciate what they have done, it brings a closeness to that relationship when we do that. And so this is what the messenger is calling the people of God to do, to remember, to recount God's kindnesses. In verse 7 alone, it begins with this very wonderful Hebrew word to say hesed. Everybody say hesed. You feel smart when you say that. Hesed. But it begins with the hesed and it ends with the hesed of God. It says, I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because all the Lord has done for us, the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast hesed, his love. Hesed. This is God's deep, deep loyal love in your life. This is God's devotion to you. This is God's kindness that he has poured out to you. As the Jesus Storybook Bible says that is on many of our shelves, it is God's never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Nothing will stop God's love from finding its way to you. How has God been carrying you and lifting you up with his deep, loyal love, his never stopping, never giving up kindness over this past year? You know, this past year has brought some surprises. Anybody else surprised with how 2019 turned out somewhat? You know, a significant moment for me this past year was when our pastoral staff gathered in Pastor Dan's office. And we gathered one April afternoon, kind of unexpectedly, and Pastor Dan told us that he and Ann were called to Santa Rosa. And I remember walking down the stairs from the third floor and just realizing that everything was changing. Everything was going to be different. When I think back on 2018, that was a significant moment for me, for our church. But I look back and I cannot deny that God has been gracious and God has been kind. And a significant way that God has shown me his kindness is through people that he has brought into my life and people who've been present in my life this past year. You know, one of the highlights of this Christmas season was going to the movies. I don't get out to see the movies a lot. It's usually Netflix or Amazon Prime, but my wife and I got out to see the movie It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood based on Mr. Rogers, played by Tom Hanks. You know, Fred Rogers, this ordained Presbyterian minister, and it's the story of this journalist, Tom Junod, who gets assigned to write a piece on Fred Rogers. And Tom Junod is going back and forth from New York City to Pittsburgh, and we find out that this journalist is kind of cynical. I mean, we don't have any of that today, do we? No, but Junod is cynical. He's got this broken, estranged relationship with his father. He's now a new father himself. He's having a hard time emotionally connecting with his baby. And so he begins writing this piece on Mr. Rogers, and his wife says, you know, because he always kind of ruins heroes. He's so cynical, and he just tarnishes their images when they comes out with the writing. His wife says, please don't ruin my childhood. Don't tarnish Mr. Rogers for me. But Junod is really struggling. And at one point, this won't be really a spoiler too much. It's not the end of the movie. But they're sitting in a diner, Fred Rogers, Tom Hanks, and this actor playing Tom Junod. And Fred Rogers is trying to kind of just break into that hard shell that he has. And he says, I want you just for a moment to think about all the people that have loved you into being. And it's interesting, the journalist sits there and the rest of the diner goes kind of quiet as if they're giving space and time for this man to reflect on who are the people that have loved him into being. And it's interesting what happens because the camera then goes to Fred Rogers, Tom Hanks, and he's looking right at the camera, almost as if looking at you and me, asking that question, who has loved you into being? I was a little disarmed in the movie theater, almost looking around thinking, I think Mr. Rogers is talking to me right now. But who are the people that have shown you the deep, loyal love of our Savior? I thought of Mr. Rabb, my English teacher. Senior year, I submitted a creative writing story and he encouraged me to just keep writing. I thought about this past year, my parents, my wife, my children. I thought about my close friends. I thought about a DMIN professor, doctor of ministry professor. I thought about a spiritual director. I thought about mentors. I thought about many of you that God has been using to show me his loyal love. And he's actually been lifting me up and carrying me. Who are the people God has used to support you, to love you, to carry you in this past year? Verse 9 in this scripture goes on to say, in all their distress, it was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. And this image of God carrying his people actually goes back to Exodus 19 when Israel went out of Egypt and arrived in the wilderness at Sinai, and they're at camping at this mountain, and then Moses goes up to talk to God, and he recalls what has happened to Israel, the house of Jacob. He says, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. It's as if God sped in like an eagle and carried his people to himself. Or then in Deuteronomy 32, where Moses, after all this time, is ready to enter the promised land, and he gets to the end in the realization that he's not going to enter. God speaks and says, he sustained him in a desert land, in a howling wilderness waste. He shielded him. He cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, as it spreads its wings and takes them up and bears them aloft on its pinions. The Lord alone guided him. And you know, in any kind of recalling or any remembering, as we've heard here in this passage, that there was a tinge of sadness that the people of God were experiencing. God, why aren't things the way that they used to be? But God, we remember who you are, and we recall who you are. And it actually made me think a little bit about us as a church. And that in some ways, maybe not all of us, maybe not all the time, but in some ways we may feel like that sometimes about our church. God, we remember what it was like. We remember the way that the church was filled. We remember the glory of the past. God, where are you now? Can you do what you did again? And I think there's a larger conversation. There's cultural dynamics, there's dynamics of being a church in an urban setting. There's a lot of different things we could probably talk about. But the thing that I felt as one of your pastors, the thing I felt was compassion. Compassion for if you feel that there's been loss, if you feel that you wish things were different. I felt God's compassion for you. And understanding that even in the midst of grief, of loss, that God would still be the one to carry us through, to lift us up, and help us find our way through that. How has God been lifting you up and carrying you this past year? Who are the people around you that have encouraged you and lifted you up and carried you? I was reminded of one final image, and I think Pastor Dan has shared this story, but I recall back in 1992 in the Barcelona Olympics, there was a champion sprinter from Great Britain named Derek Redmond. He was a champion in the 400-meter sprint. He was a gold medalist in the European Championships. By the time he got to the 1992 Olympics, he had undergone 8 surgeries just to get back to the Olympics. And so by the time his race started, the 400-meter relay, he's won the first round, he's won his quarterfinal, and when he came into the semifinal, he was starting out so strong. And around the backstretch, around 250 meters from the finish, he pulled his hamstring. And you see him grimacing in pain, and he's trying to get up and just hobble to the finish line. And the officials come with a stretcher and they're trying to just help him, and he's pushing them off. He's saying, I am determined to finish this race. And so he keeps hobbling as 65,000 spectators stand to their feet cheering him on. And then out of 65,000 spectators, there's a person who fights his way past security onto the track. And it's Derek's father, Jim. And Jim comes up beside his son. And he puts his son's arm around his neck. And he puts his hand around his waist. And he proceeds to carry and lift his son to the finish line. And I thought about that, and I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that this is who you are in my life and in your life. That he would come alongside and lift you up and carry you. How has he been carrying you this past year? And who are the people he has brought beside you to lift you up? Think about it the next few days before you jump to 2020. And give praise and thanks that God has been and is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.